The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Kor, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzi. Our heroes befriended the mysterious Agent Sterling. Waka Waka Fonzi forced Brash to shoot Gronk when he wouldn't leave the droid behind. And Vic chose a new identity as Renegade, Master of Espionage. There, you're caught up. So get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money.
So you're making your way through a darkened tunnel. The mine is deep, deep, deep inside the... sort of deep into the asteroid. And it's one of those kind of awful claustrophobic tunnel situations that I feel like, Vic, you would never have been down somewhere like this.
No.
So I think you're really kind of feeling like Brash, you would like this is a smuggler situation. So you're probably used to it. And I'm sure
this is a little bit sexy to me. I like it.
Yeah. And Waka, I'm sure during your time in the army, stuff like this happens.
I live in a janitor closet. I love tight spaces.
He lives in a janitor's closet and he sucks his own poop back into his body. Yeah, he's fine.
He also has amnesia, so like maybe he's done this, maybe he hasn't. Yeah, it's like, fine.
This is birthing therapy for him.
But Vic, for you, this is like real.
This is yucky.
This is real yucky. But it may be yucky for Vic, but is it yucky for Renegade?
Yes, this is awful.
Great. So you're leading the way, and you're, like, visibly agitated.
Yeah, you kind of have to push me forward, because I'm kind of
oh,
just,
man,
like,
I've only got a Gronk droid to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we'll let Sterling do it, because Sterling can be invisible
yeah,
pushing you, so you appear brave.
He just occasionally whispers, like, you're doing great.
Yeah, my problem is the gun I took back from you is sticky. Why is it sticky? Like, I'm trying to rub it off on my clothes and stay looking cool, but it's very frustrating. I can't kiss it to apologize for the fact that I lost it because it's sticky.
That's how Vic kept it on him. He just stuck it to himself.
If you kiss your guns, do they have names? Do your guns have names?
I think, yes. They had to earn it, which is why it was so bothersome that you got one. Because one is...
Bert and Ernie?
One is called... No. I named them after my siblings. Because I fucking hate my siblings. So I need somebody to work with me. And see, because I'm a Faline. And I just decided as Ryan that I was like, all Faline names start with an X. So my siblings are Zalpha and Zomagon.
Okay.
Because my parents wanted them to be the Alpha and Omega of business. Zalpha, Zomagon.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
And then they named me Abraxas because I was an accident who would not receive anything. So I just got my, you know, Zabraxas. They just put an X in the name. Who knows? Honestly, it's like they sneezed and someone wrote it on the certificate. There's a lot of fury about this that I do not express. But I get to own my siblings and they get they get to defend me and do the criminal things I want them to do. So it's petty, but it makes me feel fulfilled in some small, gross way.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right.
I would never, I don't know if I've ever told anyone I named them that.
Vic, I imagine for you, because I know like Waka's named his gun as well, but that doesn't seem like something that Vic.
No. But would Renegade.
Yes. Renegade, I guess, would have a name for the Derringer.
Sure.
Yeah. That was handed to him.
What's the name of the Derringer?
Lil Renegade.
Like L-I-L apostrophe.
Yeah.
In my Renegade. Head, it's just the noisy cricket. Like, not in power, but in terms of look.
Yeah.
Overall Renegade. Aesthetic.
Yeah. That's very dumb. I like it a lot. Lil Renegade. Okay, great. So, if you'll recall from... last episode, the plan that you guys are currently working on is to send Renegade forward to encounter a Black Sun patrol and surrender in cowardice, and then to track him to where the leader of the Slicers is being held. Are you guys then, I guess, you're a ways back, I would assume?
Yeah, we're probably, so I mean, Sterling has to be with Vic, or he keeps not moving, but right. Sterling's invisible, so...
Yeah. So Sterling is obviously on Vic's back. And also, if just, like, they open fire on him, it's helpful to have someone there to help. But the rest of you are kind of, like...
We're sneaking... Yeah, we're back down the hall. Enough that we could cover if shit goes bad, but far enough away we're not getting spotted right away.
Cool. So you continue making your way kind of deeper into the tunnel, and you kind of open up into a large cavern. As you do so, you can kind of hear some voices in the distance. Now, Renegade, were you on board with this plan? You were going to lead everyone, but were you on board with the get captured and surrender?
Yes, as a clever ruse.
Okay.
Let them think they've captured me kind of thing.
So you, step into kind of a large cavern, where clearly, this tunnel kind of... It's not where it ends, but it's definitely a major sort of junction, natural cavern. And you can see five Black Sun mercenaries just kind of dragging some equipment out of the way. It seems the tunnel ahead is blocked. So they're kind of dragging a drill, like an old rusted drill machine.
Okay, not using charges or anything? They're trying to bore their way through?
No, this is some equipment that was left there. Seem to have been moved. You get the sense that the Slicers likely moved it, did some kind of technical wizardry to like stop up the gap.
Okay.
So they're just dragging all the shit out of the way, trying to unstop the hole.
I thought they were trying to do like actively mine through a
tunnel. No. This is all very similar to the Gronk droids, all very old gear.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
And Sterling will kind of like give me some extra nudges, like push me forward. I'm like, okay, I got it. And like shrug him off.
You try and shrug him off, but like he's not there because he's invisible. Yeah. And kind of
wave where he might be. All right. Got it. And I'll adjust my was it a black denim vest?
Yes, it's a black denim vest.
Yeah.
Over top of your silk turtleneck,
the world's worst Han Solo cosplay.
Yeah,
with a red bandana on.
Yeah, yeah. This is like the meaning of the Juggalos Han Solo.
And I don't like being down here. I wasn't aware of how, you know, gross and like kind of scary it would be to be in an underground mine. But I'll like kind of, you know, get into character, kind of find Renegade, right? And then become Renegade. And then I'll stride confidently into the middle of the open area and loudly clear my throat.
And you just hear like the screeching of the metal stop and they all turn to look at you.
My name is Renegade. And I am here to peacefully surrender. And I'll raise my hands.
As you were saying, like, Renegade, their guns were coming up. And then when you raise your hands, they're confused. Finally, a human who's clearly had some bionic stuff done to her face. She's kind of got, like, robot eyes and sort of like a visor steps forward. She says, you with the slicers?
Yes, I am.
Give me one reason why I shouldn't kill you.
Because you're after the slicers. And I like give her like finger guns, like you're looking for slicers and you got one.
She turns to her companions who are all looking equally confused. One of them who seems to be like think the shitty like Walmart equivalent of an IG-88. So okay. Like, you know, the president's choice IG-88. So it's just like a little boxier and like his head's a square for some reason.
Sure.
And the droid says, perhaps we should shoot it just to be safe.
Well, no. Capture me. Take me hostage.
This sounds like a clever ruse.
Well, I mean, yes, it would be extremely clever.
He looks smug.
Whoever would be brave enough to stroll out here in the middle of your operation and surrender would clearly have to be some kind of mastermind, but that's not the case right now. I Renegade the slicer. Slicer? Is it splicer or slicer?
It is slicer.
I'm a slicer and I'm here to surrender.
Can you roll me a deception check, okay, please? Sure. So deception and cunning.
Okay, so that's... So cunning being the characteristic, that's like the number of dice, and then the skill is how many of them would be yellow?
Whichever is higher.
Is the green.
Is the base green, however many ranks you have over and above that, turn them into yellow.
So, Tom, what kind of dice are you going to add to the mix on this one?
Oh, Ryan, I'm so glad you asked. We're going to say three purple. And then I'm going to spend a point of destiny to make one of those purples a spooky, spooky challenge dice. I will give you a blue boost dice because you are legit. Like, you're lying, but also you believe it.
Yeah.
So add one blue, and I think that's it from my end of things.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll. I'm not going to use any destiny. Vic doesn't need destiny.
Renegade makes his own fate.
Wow, that's a lot of blank dice. It's all right. One fail, two threats. Three successes.
So you have two success and one advantage.
Yeah, two success and... No, sorry, just a net of two successes.
So the sort of leader with the bionic eyes like turns and just pushes the droid over, just full on shoves the droid, and the droid has no stabilizers, and she goes, and falls over.
Down I go.
And she says, you fool, he is a slicer, and we are looking for slicers. We must take him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Look, he acknowledges it. you stupid droid. And she kicks the droid. So she nods to one of her companions, and he kind of runs over and very like roughly like grabs your arms and slaps a pair of cuffs on you. He pats you down, and he pulls out the Derringer, and he looks at it, and he kind of laughs, and he shows it to his boss, and she laughs. And she's like, what is that?
That's Lil Renegade. Be careful around her. She's a feisty firecracker of a little gun.
The guy just tosses it down the abyss.
What? No, hey, a friend gave that to me.
You like, as you're standing there, your foot gets like sidekicked. By an down invisible
I,
foot.
Down I go.
Hey, friends. It's Ryan, but like regular Ryan, as himself, talking about Dumb Dumbs and Dice. Yes, I'm one of the people behind this show. Obviously, you're listening to the show. You're loving this show. Somebody's doing great. Probably not me, but like Tom, he does really good work. Tyler does really good work. Third person also does really good work. I don't know what show this is on. But the important thing is that you can support the show and join the show at
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice.
That's right. That address that I totally just said. Go there, join Dumb Dumbs and Dice, support the show. It's going to be great.
So they kind of grab you and they kind of bring you to the edge of the thing. She nods to the two of them to keep kind of working at pulling stuff out. The droid spends a good like 3 minutes standing up, and it's just that horribly awkward like Boston Dynamics robots. Oh, they always keep going, like, he rolls over and then he like has to bend his knees and he's like trying to use his elbows and his arms. It's really having a hard time. The rest of you, I assume, are still hanging back.
Yeah, we got to watch to see how this is going to go. Because is there a way to follow, or would we have to walk through the open space?
You'll have to walk through the open space, or you can wait for them to enter the tunnel and then follow.
Well, I got my fork gun's got like a sniper scope, so I can like watch them.
Sure.
We'll hold position then. We're gonna play this smart.
Cool. And Sterling unfortunately can't move right now, or they'll see him. Aside from kicking Vic for losing his gun, so he is just kind of like standing there. I think maybe with your scope you can pick him up because it's getting thermal imaging of the guy who's clearly standing there. So he's kind of pressed against a wall, just laying low. So after a few minutes, they managed to drag the last of the equipment out. They're grumbling the whole time. It seems that the slicers hacked the hardware on these sort of small mining droids and got them to jam up the thing. Vic, you're being kind of like held captive. Would you stay silent during this whole thing?
No, Vic would be real, real chatty. And I think unintentionally like helpful. Like, just loudly being like, oh, man, so you're just like a small crew, like five guys, huh? Boy, that's probably a lot of hard work for you to have to move all that machinery, just the five of you. So, like, now the group knows, like, how many, enemies there are and stuff like that. And it's like, well, that is one big gun. How come he gets to hold the big gun and everyone else has, like, the little guns? And so, and just, cool. Like, just constantly doing that shit.
Cool. So we'll say I'll add one boost forward to whatever the party's next, like, fucking with these guys' role is. So eventually they move the gear out of the way, and their leader kind of like nods to the two toughs who are carrying you, and they start dragging you forward into the smaller tunnel. I assume the two of you follow.
Yeah, we'll follow at a distance.
So all of you kind of make it through the rest of the tunnel. You don't encounter any of the other slicers. They seem to have successfully kind of thrown off the Black Sun. You come out the emergency exit into the sort of air bubble, so the actual Comstar base. This is definitely like a service entrance that's not really supposed to be used, but it's clearly seen a lot of foot traffic from Black Sun. And you see that the space is actually fairly bustling. Like there's a lot of Black Sun coming and going. For you, Vic, what you see coming out of the tunnel. There's a large central sort of HQ building that seems to have like, you know, the Comstar logo on it. And it's clearly kind of the office for the space. It's got a giant radar dish on top. So it seems to be kind of the central routing unit for the comm station. You can also see some low-lying buildings. And it's not like an army is here, but there's like a decent amount of goons kind of coming and going. And they start dragging you towards the HQ building. Also, the air is so much fresher up here. It's real nice.
Oh, thank you, guys. It was so just dank and gross in there.
It was dank. I cannot smell, but if I could, it would have been dank.
Yeah, yeah. This guy gets it.
Thank you.
Who are you?
I'm GG22.
GG22 gets it, guys.
Yay, I got it.
Yeah, I bet the GG stands for GG gets, and then, like, it is just kind of implied.
The lady gags you. they begin kind of dragging you towards the HQ building, which looks kind of like an office building with a giant like satellite dish on top.
Okay.
And I'm talking like giant satellite dish, not like Millennium Falcon sized, but like building sized.
Wow. Okay. It's like the dish,
like a Rogue One comm tower.
Yeah. Like
a Siberia level and GoldenEye dish.
That is exactly what was in my head.
End of GoldenEye. Yeah,
it was 100% what was in my head. Thank you for getting it.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes.
Sandy right. Cheeks. It all has to come back to the SquarePants for me. Right. I'm like, it's the size of the Crab Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah. From that time
when Patrick Starr's GoldenEye satellite.
Yeah. Give me the code, Squidward.
So on and so forth.
Yeah, yeah, good. We've all watched that show.
Yeah.
For England, SpongeBob. No, for me.
That's right.
Yeah. And then just hugs him instead. I would watch that.
It's the Bond theme, but on a ukulele. Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding. Oh, who works on MI6? Under the double O's.
In my head, I can hear it so clearly. But I don't know if I can make it
James sound Bond come out of my mouth. War pants.
Yeah. I'd be like,
for Bikini Bottom, SpongeBob?
And I was like, no, Patrick, for me.
Oh, man, Tyler, that was a fucking good SpongeBob. Oh, anyway, Star Wars. Cool, so... it's obviously a lot brighter out here. There's sort of a number of floodlights that sort of light
the area. We're still under the dome, right?
Yes, you're under the dome. Yeah, yeah. The dome itself seems to give off kind of a faint glow. You get the sense there's probably something in it that helps like refract light and keep everything visible. So you're dragged towards the building. There's two goons on either side of the sort of central doors. They open with a hiss, and you're dragged into the lobby of... it's corporate, but it's also kind of industrial. It's weirdly not dissimilar from the mining facility, except that this one is clearly still in use. The upkeep has been done, if that makes any sense. Hmm. And as you're pulled in, you almost trip over one of those little like toasters on wheels. It's it pauses and kind of stares at you.
I'm gagged.
And it drives away. That character had such a story that you'll never hear now. DLC. Cool. So let's cut back to Waka and Brash. You guys are kind of at the mouth of this.
Is Sterling with us or is Sterling slunk away? Or we don't know where Sterling is. Because Sterling's invisible, so we very well might not know.
Yeah, I don't think... Sterling's... general goal is to stay as close to Vic as he can because he doesn't really feel like Vic can handle himself in a fight.
So Sterling's our ace in the hole where I'm like, man, he's around.
Yeah, like he handed Vic like a secret Derringer up his sleeve so he could feel special, but Sterling is the gun up his sleeve.
So, Waka, awkward moment. I was not aware that the mine attached to the bubble... We can't just shoot our way through a whole army, and I sort of don't have a plan.
I just, like, flip my hair and switch my vest and look really good because I'm now just trying to fill airtime because I don't have a plan.
Okay, so from my scope, I saw that the doors are guarded. So
yes.
What if we went back to our original plan and drove the two ships... into the dome, and then we can free everybody.
So you're saying we should go back, fly away, kill everyone, and then rescue. You are going to put parts of them into a necklace, aren't you?
I think maybe we need to rethink this.
All right. So looking out, we see the building. It's got two guards. Yep. How many other people are on? Like, what's the setup between us and this important door?
Between you and that is kind of just in a semi-open space. To your left and right, there's like a few sort of, think like almost golf carts kicking around. The best way to think of this is kind of is like a frontier outpost. So there's, you can see a couple of side buildings. There's like what looks to be almost an apartment complex for workers. There's like a rec center to your right. And there's a few ships that have been parked inside inside the dome that have been brought through. You can see kind of a massive, we'll say that you've entered from the west. So you can see the massive entry like airlocks for the ships at the north and south. So basically if you're asking like, can you stealth your way to these doors? It's kind of a, you can get halfway there and then the last half is a
straight walk.
Straight walk, yep. That said, you aren't, the schematics you had were for the, that Sterling found were for the mine's not the, this city, facility. Yeah. But based on kind of your knowledge of this sort of stuff, it wouldn't make sense to not have underground tunnels connecting a lot of these buildings. So even though you might not be able to walk through the front door, odds are the apartment has at least an emergency access to all of these buildings should connect to the central terminal. Because
they also need to be set up in case the dome breaks.
That's it doesn't exactly just kill anybody. Yeah, yeah.
All right, new plan.
Okay.
We need to find a way underground. Right now, this air smells too good. I want to go back to the smuggle zone. It's where Brash belongs.
Okay.
Because then when we get underground, we can go in, we can free our friends, we can get the hell out, and everybody in this whole dome gets brashed.
You know, if we had a Gronk droid, we could have maybe used that, it as a diversion.
This is blatantly untrue, but we could maybe take a look at some of these golf carts, maybe send them zooming around. If they've got autopilot, crank those speeds.
Okay, what if we send a golf cart to the door, and then it'll bump into it, and then they'll open it and be like, what's this cart doing here? And then I'll shoot them with my sniper scope.
If we're just going to shoot them, why send the cart?
It's a diversion. They're not going to expect a cart or a fork gun to the face.
I agree with you in principle. They would not expect that.
Okay.
Neither would I.
Ooh, okay. I'm on the golf cart and under a blanket, and then you push it and you say special delivery, and they be like, I'm not expecting, and then boom, bang with the fork gun.
Again, if we are just going to shoot them, you can do that from here.
Okay, what if you're under the blanket?
This time, I'm letting him keep going, but I'm actively looking for things in the ground. Because I can probably keep him on this conversation as we go into a tunnel.
Okay, we're under a blanket together, and we're outside, and we make spooky noises. And when they run away, then we shoot them.
See, that's pretty good.
And as you're saying this, like the two of you are like walking the perimeter and like trying to find things.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Ryan, I'd say the rec center is probably closer and kind of the bigger, more chaotic building. So you guys make your way there. Waka, you're still explaining this cart theory as you two kind of like enter the building.
Yeah. Okay. So we each have a cart.
So looking around, you can see some bodies. It looks like some of the staff were here when the Black Sun showed up. But yeah, think like a YMCA style thing. This is where all of the people would come for entertainment. So there's like a theater and there's a swimming pool and a gym.
And there's dead bodies everywhere?
There are a few dead bodies, yes. It seems like the staff that the Black Sun encountered here, they just shot.
Okay, so during my musings, I brought a golf cart with me. And so I start taking the bodies and I start putting them on the golf cart. You're like, don't worry, I think I can use this. Are there any like large sticks in the area?
Sure, yeah, there's like a room full of rental gym gear.
See, the reason that this has actually happened is once we got into the building, I managed to find somewhere where I'm just looking for schematics. So I'm in the office looking around, not realizing he's secretly brought a golf cart in and stacked bodies.
He went back out and got a golf cart.
Yeah, while I'm in here, finding things to see, we're going to find the plans. So
for Brash's part of this plot, it's like David Fincher, like dark atmospheric music playing as he like looks through the files and is like doing all the cool espionage shit. Fonzie, what do you think your like building this death cart theme is?
There's another song in my head. It said, "My death cart and me," and it's
like, by Death Cart for Cutie.
Yeah, yeah. It's like da 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 da, making a trap and making some friends. It's the death cart. And while I'm doing that, I'm like, I'm taking the bodies and kind of propping them up on some mops that I found that are weighed down with weights because it's like a rec center.
Yeah, like Sweep has taught you how to effectively line things up with mops. Yeah. I mean, you can't live with a guy for that long and not pick up some sweeping tricks.
Right. So there's a golf cart with like about maybe, I'm guessing it's a pretty big golf cart. So like maybe like a dozen bodies like propped up to and like to make them seem like they're alive.
A dozen bodies on one golf cart?
Yeah, yeah. Like, so they're...
That's why he has to stab stuff through them or they'll fall off.
Yeah, so they're like... So they're propped up
in cushion of corpses.
Yeah. So they're in the... So, okay, I'm trying to picture the golf cart then. So is it like a tray or is it a golf car?
It's like a little golf car.
Oh,
like,
golf car. Okay.
Like four people. Okay. Like two front.
There are 12 corpses now jammed together.
So I realize that. I'm like, oh, this doesn't look realistic. So then I throw off eight of the corpses and kind of into a corner. And then, so now there's four of them seated and propped, and I try to put them in fun positions like they're having a party. So like there's nothing... Like, so people, when they see it, they won't be like, oh, these are dead bodies. No, these are alive bodies.
Those eight over there are dead bodies.
Yeah, those eight. But these four are alive and well.
Okay, great.
And I aim it at, like, a door that's there.
Okay, so I assume you're aiming it to just, like, careen out into...
Yeah. Oh, can I use a destiny point
to do what? It's not even rolling dice.
Okay,
yet.
Wait. So,
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. No, it's too late. It's too late. It's mine now.
I want to make sure I brought.
Why is that so funny to me?
Because he's not doing anything yet. He's like bracing. It's just. Can I have more dice, please, for a thing I don't know?
So I want to make sure I brought some of my space grenades with me. So I brought four space grenades. I put a grenade in each of the people's mouths. So I just set them up. So that I'm working on this while you're looking for the files.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Brash, you find the emergency.
I want to use a destiny voice.
You find the schematics for the facility. You can definitely find like a back entrance that'll take you into the sort of central dome, like a ray dome. And yeah, there's basically emergency tunnels. They're not very big. They are very much just like it's cold outside, so we built an underground. It's a, if the space dome breaks because people drove enough flower trucks into it. Almost like Jeffrey's tubes from, Star Trek.
Okay, so they're like 4 or 5 feet in crouch. You can't really stand, but you
I think
need to
we're going to say they're big enough that you can stand, but it really is like a single person wide and tall. So it would be kind of an ants situation. You also don't know how many people legitimately live here, so who knows? So you get that, and you kind of like stand up, you turn around just in time to see Fonzie and his death cart. And Fonzie, what do you say as you launch the cart?
How do you like my plan so far?
And with that, the cart shoots out of the door, out onto the thing, and you hear a bunch of screams, and then the gunfire begins.
Great. I thought so.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at the Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler underscore Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at Adam McNamara 13 on Twitter, and our fantastic game master Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dum Dums and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Chronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Manicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.